What really inspires me is the opportunity to make a difference and especially save lives. It was back during the rollback malaria that I had this incredible experience. We were experimenting at the national level in Zambia with different distribution systems to ensure the clinics had the right medicines to treat patients. We were able to save in the treatment group 4,000 children. This experience was very touching for me. And since then, we have developed so many solutions that go exactly in the same direction.
Hello, and welcome to People First Podcast, the podcast from the World Bank, where we explore the stories, ideas, and people shaping Western and Central Africa. I'm your host, Rama George. Today, we're diving into a program that's changing the way the World Bank and its partners design and deliver impact. The LEADS program. Imagine this. A single workshop in Togo brings together project teams from across Western and Central Africa, as well as government counterparts. They share knowledge, apply global evidence, and by the end of the week, have generated millions in added value for their joint projects in the pipeline. That's the real-world impact of LEADS. Learn, adapt, scale. But what is LEADS exactly, and why does it matter? In the global development context, we face a big challenge. There's a wealth of evidence and learning out there, but it doesn't always make its way into the projects that need it most. Too often, teams work in silos and proven solutions don't get scaled. That's where the World Bank's LEADS program comes in. LEADS is a program designed to do many things. Integrate global evidence into project design and implementation, foster cross-sector learning and knowledge exchange, build capacity for impact evaluation, and ultimately help the World Bank achieve greater development impact. LEADS does this by providing curated, evidence-based insights, facilitating knowledge exchange between sectors and countries, and offering practical tools for monitoring and evaluation. From Lomé, Togo, we are participating in one of their workshops. This is organized in collaboration with the World Bank's Western and Central Africa region, the Development Economics Vice Presidency, and the International Finance Corporation. I'm joined today by Arianna Leguvini, the Director of the LEADS Program at the World Bank. Hello, Arianna. Welcome to the People First Podcast.
Oh, it's a pleasure being with you.
What's behind this LEADS workshop, and what's so exciting and different about this approach?
First of all, I'm thrilled about expanding to West and Central Africa. We run these big workshops in different regions to inject a lot of lessons into our projects and have a conversation around what is relevant to improve the effectiveness of these projects. Let's talk about M300. We want to connect people with energy. Is that sufficient? Or do we really need to think about reliability, which is the quality of that energy? We don't only have clients coming to the workshop, but TTLs and management from the region, both from the World Bank and the IFC, with the idea that we can use both the knowledge and the financing to scale solutions that work across the whole region.
Mission 300 and energy access. Yesterday, we spoke with William Brennan, the Chief Marketing Officer at Husk Power Systems. Here is what he shared with us about his company and why they're here in Lomé for the LEADS workshop.
So Husk Power, my company, builds mini grids. Everybody who grew up in a city knows what a grid is. It's a bunch of wires, a bunch of poles. There's an energy source for that thing somewhere, which we never see. Mini grids are for communities that live off of that main grid, mostly in rural areas. My company, Husk, builds a mini grid in those communities. So we're trying to bring them into the modern economy by giving them access to energy as well as services on top of that energy.
Have you faced any challenges in this business trying to sell off-grid systems?
Oh, there's plenty of challenges in building a mini grid. I think one of them is just the logistics of actually doing it in the communities that we serve. I mean, these are places that are out in the middle of nowhere, so it's hard to get there. And then, you know, you have to source talent locally and train that talent. So we go into these communities as a community member, hire 3 to 4 people. We train them to do sales, technical support, security, et cetera. So we're contributing to the local economy, not just by providing electricity to people we didn't have before, but also hiring locals to do that.
Why does it make sense for you to participate in these kinds of workshops?
If we can do a deep study around how the services that we provide, including electricity, but also things on top of that, actually deliver greater socioeconomic impact to communities that we're electrifying versus grid extension. That helps us. It helps governments understand why it makes sense for them to allocate more of their finances to support us, provides the customer with better service, and it also, you know, unlocks, hopefully, a lot more private capital, like the capital that's coming from IFC, to scale this solution. So there's a lot of reasons why having more data that's credible, that's based on third-party assessments, would go a long way to helping our industry scale, help government understand why taking the path of the mini grid, not just grid extension, is important.
Would you recommend this kind of workshop to other energy companies, or what messages would you share for future participants?
This type of workshop can be really valuable for private sector companies. We need support from partners like IFC and the World Bank to make the case for how we can scale impactful solutions like mini grids. And you can't really do that unless you've got the data to back it up. We know what we want to do. We know what the outcome is that we're trying to achieve. We know what data we need to collect. We think we have the framework to do that.
Arianna, you've heard from the private sector. What's an example of support for government implementing agencies?
We developed dashboards for government officials to see their data in real time, allowing the authorities to think about fiscal support or other interventions. So the sky is the limit, because we are always doing everything in collaboration with the client.
Right. You just spoke about fiscal policy, and here is Raymond Mohula. He's a lead public sector specialist based in Accra, Ghana. Let's ask him what problem his team is trying to solve, how, and why.
We invest in really sophisticated technology to monitor public expenditure or to monitor revenues, but sometimes you find that the uptake of these systems is not optimal. We have the system there, but only a few people use it up to a certain extent. These problems can be solved if we test things first.
Raymond, what has surprised you most about this workshop?
I've found that most of the talking is done by government officials, and I think that is really amazing. It's been really humbling to see that people who really know a lot about these things are willing to just listen.
What's one of your main takeaways?
I think for the broader development community, we need to test things before we invest in them. And I think the similar message also for government, for the bank, for operation teams, is that we need to embed more evidence and more behavior and more data into our projects. As task team leaders, we have the opportunity during the design to incorporate this. Nobody says don't do this.
There's also another angle to leads that we'd like to talk about. It's the collaboration and work in multiple sectors. For that, we spoke with Fatima Barry, who's a senior health specialist based here in Lomé. She talked about her project, the Sahel Women Empowerment and Demographic Dividend Project, known by many as SWED. Here she is.
We're really excited to actually be part of the AFW Leads. We work a lot with the education, the social protection and jobs practice group. We're also working with the agricultural team to support women, to really help inform their economic growth from an adolescent girls from the age of around 10, 12, up until 49. The intervention that we've been discussing here at AFW Leads is around what they call in Togo a school for a second chance. It's for girls, young girls who have not been able to finish school. And so some of the studies have shown that with vocational training, girls can really build the skills that they need and be part of the job market. If we don't build the evidence around some of these interventions, we won't be able to really understand if what we're doing is impactful.
Coming back to you, Arianna, what's next for Leeds?
So after the workshop, we'll have to have a lot of follow-up to the countries to help them operationalize the evidence that has been introduced. We'll continue tracking changes during implementation. On average, our promise is to increase their impact as measured through treatment and control by at least 50%.
Let me ask you one more thing. How do you reach out to many more people?
So to reach out to many more people in the world,
we have developed an exciting tool. It's called Impact AI. The idea of Impact AI is to use generative AI, chatbox, but upgrade it with an AI agent and a structured database of 7,000 randomized controlled trials to provide practitioners with direct access to the evidence, synthesize the evidence for them in very easy to read forest plots and be able to map which interventions, what impact on what outcome, and be able to provide information not only on what they can expect from a certain intervention and investment, but also how to optimize that investments by picking features that can help them improve the impact of their programs. I should say we are also working on a predictive tool so that you will be able to actually get an estimate of what your project may deliver within your context and given certain features. So this information will not only be available to the World Bank, but also to governments, also to civil society organizations, pressure groups. So kind of keeping everybody accountable for doing better.
Is it free?
It will be free, of course, yes.
yes, open access.
So what can we learn from LEADS? First, integrating global evidence into local projects isn't just possible, it's transformative. Second, cross-sector learning and collaboration are key to scaling what works. And finally, building capacity for impact evaluation helps ensure that every project is making a real difference. I'm Rama George, and you've been listening to a special episode of the People First podcast featuring the LEADS program. If you want to learn more about this program or get involved, visit the World Bank's website or reach out to the LEADS team. We'll put the details in the transcript. That's it for today's episode. On behalf of the production team, thank you for listening. And remember, learning, adapting, and scaling can change the world one project at a time. You can stay connected by following us on your favorite podcast platform. If you haven't yet, subscribe, rate, and review us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and BankMondial.org. Yes, some of our episodes are also available in French. We welcome your feedback. Share your thoughts, comments, and suggestions for future topics by emailing us at peoplefirstpodcast@worldbank.org. You can even send us a voice memo and we might feature it on the program. Don't forget to tell us your name and where you're writing from. Join us next time for another episode of People First. See you soon.